love this brachet brought me, and therefore, fair lady, be not displeased with me, for I am full sore aggrieved of your grievance. Truly, sir, she said, I trow it be not ye that has slain my husband, for he that did that deed is sore wounded, and he is never likely to recover, that shall I ensure him. What was your husband's name? Said Sir Lancelot. Page 221. Sir, said she, his name was called Sir Gilbert the Bastard, one of the best knights of the world, and he that hath slain him, I know not his name. Now God send you better comfort, said Sir Lancelot. And so he departed and went into the forest again, and there he met with a damsel, the which knew him well, and she said aloud, Well be ye found, my lord, and now I require thee, on thy knighthood, help my brother that is sore wounded, and never stinteth bleeding, for this day he fought with Sir Gilbert the Bastard, and slew him in plain battle, and there was my brother sore wounded. Reader's note, there is a footnote after the word plain. Plain, open, return to text. And there is a lady, a sorceress, that dwelleth in a castle here beside, and this day she told me my brother's wound should never be whole till I could find a knight would go into the Chapel Perilous, and there he should find a sword and a bloody cloth that the wounded knight was lapped in, and a piece of that cloth and sword should heal my brother's wounds, so that his wounds were searched with the sword and the cloth. This is a marvelous thing, said Sir Lancelot, but what is your brother's name? Sir, she said, his name was Sir Meliot de Logris. That me repenteth, said Sir Lancelot, for he is a fellow of the Table Round, and to his help I will do my power. Then, sir, said she, follow even this highway, and it will bring you unto the Chapel Perilous, and here I shall abide till God send you here again, and, but you speed, I know no knight living that may achieve that adventure. Page 222. Chapter 15. How Sir Lancelot came into the Chapel Perilous, and gat there of a dead corpse a piece of the cloth and a sword. Right so Sir Lancelot departed, and when he came unto the Chapel Perilous, he alit down, and tied his horse unto a little gate. And as soon as he was within the churchyard, he saw on the front of the chapel many fair rich shields turned up so down, and many of the shields Sir Lancelot had seen knights bear beforehand. With that he saw by him there stand a 30 great knights, more by a yard than any man that ever he had seen, and all those grinned and gnashed at Sir Lancelot. Reader's note, there is a footnote after the word grinned, grimaced. Return to text. And when he saw their countenance, he dread him sore, and so put his shield afore him, and took his sword ready in his hand, ready unto battle. And they were all armed in black harness, ready with their shields and their swords drawn. And when Sir Lancelot would have gone throughout them, they scattered on every side of him, and gave him the way, and therewith he waxed all bold, and entered into the chapel, and then he saw no light but a dim lamp burning, and then he was aware of a corpse hilled with a cloth of silk. Reader's note. There's a footnote after hilled, covered. Return to text. Then Sir Lancelot stooped down and cut a piece away of that cloth, and then it fared under him as the earth had quaked a little, therewithal he feared. And then he saw a fair sword lie by the dead knight, and that he gat in his hand and hied him out of the chapel. Anon as ever he was in the chapel yard, all the knights spake to him with a grimly voice and said, Knight Sir Lancelot, lay that sword from thee, or else thou shalt die. Whether that I live or die, said Sir Lancelot, with no great word get ye it again, therefore fight for it, and ye list. Then right so he passed throughout them, and beyond the chapel yard there met him a fair damsel, and said, Sir Lancelot, leave that sword behind thee, or thou wilt die for it. I leave it not, said Sir Lancelot, for no treaties. Then, said she, and thou didst leave that sword, Queen Guinevere should thou never see. Then were I a fool, and I would leave this sword, said Sir Lancelot. Now, gentle knight, said the damsel, I require thee to kiss me but once. Page 223. Nay, said Sir Lancelot, that God me forbid. Well, sir, said she, and thou hadst kissed me thy life days had been done, but now, alas, she said, I have lost all my labor, for I ordained this chapel for thy sake and for Sir Gawain. And once I had Sir Gawain within me, and at that time he fought with that knight that lieth there dead in yonder chapel, Sir Gilbert the Bastard. and at that time he smote the left hand off of Sir Gilbert the Bastard. And Sir Lancelot, now I tell thee, I have loved thee this 7 year, but there may no woman have thy love but Queen Guinevere. But sithen I may not rejoice thee to have thy body alive, I had kept no more joy in this world but to have thy body dead. Then would I have balmed it and served it, and so have kept it my life days, and daily I should have clipped thee and kissed thee, in despite of Queen Guinevere. Ye say well, said Sir Lancelot, Jesu preserve me from your subtle crafts. And therewithal he took his horse, and so departed from her. And as the book saith, when Sir Lancelot was departed, she took such sorrow that she died within a 14 night, and her name was Heloise, the sorceress, lady of the castle Nigramus. Anon Sir Lancelot met with the damsel, Sir Meliot's sister, and when she saw him she clapped her hands and wept for joy. And then they rode unto a castle thereby, where lay Sir Meliot. And anon as Sir Lancelot saw him, he knew him, but he was passing pale as the earth for bleeding. When Sir Meliot saw Sir Lancelot, he kneeled upon his knees and cried on high, O Lord, Sir Lancelot, help me. Anon Sir Lancelot leapt unto him and touched his wounds with Sir Gilbert's sword. And then he wiped his wounds with a part of the bloody cloth that Sir Gilbert was wrapped in, and anon an wholer man in his life was he never. And then there was great joy between them, and they made Sir Lancelot all the cheer that they might. And so on the morn Sir Lancelot took his leave, and bade Sir Meliot hie him to the court of my lord Arthur, for it draweth nigh to the feast of Pentecost, and there by the grace of God ye shall find me. And therewith they departed. Page 224. Chapter 16. How Sir Lancelot, at the request of a lady, recovered a falcon, by which he was deceived. And so Sir Lancelot rode through many strange countries, over marsh and valleys, till by fortune he came to a fair castle, and as he passed beyond the castle, him thought he heard two bells ring. And then was he ware of a falcon came flying over his head towards an high elm, and long loons about her feet. Reader's note, after the word loons, there's a footnote, loons, leashes, return to text. And she flew unto the elm to take her perch. The loons overcast about a bough, and when she would have taken her flight, she hung by the legs fast. And Sir Lancelot saw how she hung, and beheld the fair falcon Perigo, and he was sorry for her. The meanwhile came a lady out of the castle, and cried on high, O Lancelot, Lancelot, as thou art flower of all knights, help me to get my hawk. For an my hawk be lost, my lord will destroy me. For I kept the hawk, and she slipped from me. And if my lord my husband wit it, he is so hasty that he will slay me. What is your lord's name? Said Sir Lancelot. Sir, she said, his name is Sir Philo, a knight that belongeth unto the King of Northgales. Well, fair lady, since that ye know my name, and require me of knighthood to help you, I will do what I may to get your hawk. And yet God knoweth I am an ill climber, and the tree is passing high, and few boughs to help me withal. And therewith Sir Lancelot alit, and tied his horse to the same tree, and prayed the lady to unarm him. Page 225. And so when he was unarmed, he put off all his clothes unto his shirt and breech, and with might and force he climbed up to the falcon, and tied the loons to a great rotten bush, and threw the hawk down and it withal. Anon the lady gat the hawk in her hand, and therewithal came out Sir Philo out of the grove suddenly, that was her husband, all armed and with his naked sword in his hand, and said, O knight Lancelot, now I have found thee as I would, and stood at the bole of the tree to slay him. Ah, lady, said Sir Lancelot, why have ye betrayed me? She hath done, said Sir Philo, as I commanded her, and therefore there is none other boot but thine hour is come that thou must die. Reader's note, there's a footnote after the word boot, remedy. Return to text. That were shame unto thee, said Sir Lancelot, thou an armed knight to slay a naked man by treason. Thou gettest none other grace, said Sir Philo, and therefore help thyself, and thou canst. Truly, said Sir Lancelot, that shall be thy shame, but since thou wilt do none other, take mine harness with thee, and hang my sword upon a bough that I may get it, and then do thy best to slay me, and thou canst. Nay, nay, said Sir Philo, for I know thee better than thou weenest, therefore thou gettest no weapon, and I may keep you therefrom. Alas, said Sir Lancelot, that ever a knight should die weaponless. And therewith he waited above him, and under him, and over his head he saw a rouncipic, a big bough leafless, and therewith he brake it off by the body. Reader's note, there is endnote 1 appears after the word rouncipic. Return to text. And then he came lower and awaited how his own horse stood, and suddenly he leapt on the further side of the horse, froward the knight. And then Sir Phalo lashed at him eagerly, weening to have slain him, but Sir Lancelot put away the stroke with the rouncipic, and therewith he smote him on the one side of the head, that he fell down in a swoon to the ground. Page 226. So then Sir Lancelot took his sword out of his hand and struck his neck from the body. Then cried the lady, "Alas, why hast thou slain my husband?" "I am not causer," said Sir Lancelot, "for with falsehood ye would have slain me with treason, and now it has fallen on you both." And then she swooned as though she would die. And therewithal Sir Lancelot gat all his armor as well as he might, and put it upon him for dread of more resort, for he dread that the knight's castle was so nigh. And so as soon as he might, he took his horse and departed, and thanked God that he had escaped that adventure. Chapter 17. How Sir Lancelot overtook a knight which chased his wife to have slain her, and how he said to him. So Sir Lancelot rode many wild ways, throughout marsh and many wild ways. And as he rode in a valley, he saw a knight chasing a lady, with a naked sword, to have slain her. And by fortune, as this knight should have slain this lady, she cried on Sir Lancelot and prayed him to rescue her. When Sir Lancelot saw that mischief, he took his horse and rode between them, saying, "Knight, fie for shame! Why wilt thou slay this lady? Thou dost shame unto thee and all knights." "What hast thou to do betwixt me and my wife?" said the knight. "I shall slay her, maugre thy head." "That shall ye not," said Sir Lancelot, "for rather we two will have ado together." "Sir Lancelot," said the knight, "thou dost not thy part, for this lady hath betrayed me." "It is not so," said the lady. "Truly he saith wrong on me. And for because I love and cherish my cousin Germain, he is jealous betwixt him and me." Page 227. "And as I shall answer to God, there was never sin betwixt us." "But, sir," said the lady, "as thou art called the worshipfulest knight of the world, I require thee of true knighthood, keep me and save me. For whatsoever ye say, he will slay me, for he is without mercy." "Have ye no doubt," said Lancelot, "it shall not lie in his power." "Sir," said the knight, "in your sight I will be ruled as ye will have me." And so Sir Lancelot rode on the one side, and she on the other. He had not ridden but a while, but the knight bade Sir Lancelot turn him and look behind him, and said, "Sir, yonder come men of arms after us riding." And so Sir Lancelot turned him and thought no treason, and therewith was the knight and the lady on one side, and suddenly he swapped off his lady's head. Reader's note, there's a footnote after the word swapped, struck. Return to text. And when Sir Lancelot had espied him what he had done, he said, and called him, "Traitor, thou hast shamed me forever." And suddenly Sir Lancelot alit off his horse and pulled out his sword to slay him, and therewithal he fell flat to the earth, and gripped Sir Lancelot by the thighs, and cried mercy. "Fie on thee," said Sir Lancelot, "thou shameful knight, thou mayest have no mercy, and therefore arise and fight with me." "Nay," said the knight, "I will never arise till ye grant me mercy." "Now will I proffer thee fair," said Lancelot. "I will unarm me unto my shirt, and I will have nothing upon me but my shirt and my sword in my hand. And if thou canst slay me, quit be thou forever." "Nay, sir," said Pedivere, "that will I never." "Well," said Sir Lancelot, "take this lady in the head and bear it upon thee, and here shalt thou swear upon my sword to bear it always upon thy back, and never to rest till thou come to Queen Guinevere." Page 228. "Sir," said he, "that will I do by the faith of my body." "Now," said Lancelot, "tell me what is your name." "Sir, my name is Pedivere." "In a shameful hour were thou born," said Lancelot. So Pedivere departed with the dead lady in the head, and found the queen with King Arthur at Winchester, and there he told all the truth. "Sir knight," said the queen, "this is an horrible deed, and a shameful, and a great rebuke unto Sir Lancelot, but notwithstanding his worship is not known in many diverse countries. But this shall I give you in penance. Make ye as good shift as ye can. Ye shall bear this lady with you on horseback unto the Pope of Rome, and of him receive your penance for your foul deeds. And ye shall never rest one night there as ye do another, and ye go to any bed, the dead body shall lie with you." This oath there he made, and so departed. And as it telleth in the French book, when he came to Rome, the Pope bade him go again unto Queen Guinevere, and in Rome was his lady buried by the Pope's commandment. And after this Sir Pedivere fell to great goodness, and was an holy man and an hermit. Page 229. Chapter 18. How Sir Lancelot came to King Arthur's court, and how they there were recounted all his noble feats and acts.